All right. Well, we're going to get started here. I want to talk to you about something here.
Are
you
ready?
Yeah. I want to talk to you about something that I believe is an issue that it's kind of along the lines of the other issues that... I found a memory card. It's kind of weird. Goes to the big camera. Goes to that camera.
No,
it's the 32.
Oh, yeah. I'll need that one.
Yep, here, Roy.
I was looking for that.
All right, there we go. Well, now you found it.
Remember where you put it.
I have no idea where it came from. Anyway, I want to talk to you about something that it's kind of, I've been dealing with these current affairs kind of issues that churches are facing today, I believe, and just believers are facing. And I want to talk to you about the seven dangers of social media. I call this Facebook folly and Twitter traps. And It does. Yeah, pretty good, isn't it? What's that? Me and my titles, right. But, you know, there are some dangers of social media. And some people say, well, I'm not on there. Yeah, but you might have family members that are on there. You might have others that are on there. And you need to understand that some things about that and to get a good grasp of that and understanding. It's some of the things that I've watched that have happened as I've been a part of social media over the years. And we have a thriving ministry on there that really helps a lot of people, and it's made contact with a ton of people. Some of you are here because of the contact that was made on there. I know Garrett, he contacted me on Facebook. I remember that. That's the first time I think I heard of you or of us, or that we talked was Facebook. And Brother Nate, I think you might have found us on Facebook too as well. Somebody posted one of our sermons and things like that. Brother Jacob, did you find us on Facebook as well, or was it through Lano? It was through Hollywood Satanic Roots, I think, but in a roundabout way, but ended up there. So there's a few people that have found us through those different mediums there of social media. So, but I think it's important that it's put into the proper perspective. And I want to pray, and then I want to get into this. I'm going to give you a lot of scripture through this, and kind of show you some things where I've seen there's some errors and some dangers of social media, of being online and of things that can take place and all that. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I pray you be with us and help us, Lord, to understand this. And Lord, help us to take heed lest we fall. Take heed to the warnings that are given and put things in perspective, Lord, biblical perspective. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, social media is really, it's an amazing tool. You know, and this, by the way, this sermon is not going to be about the CIA op of social media or Facebook or anything like that. I already understand all that stuff. I understand we're being tracked everywhere we go, whatever we do. And I'm not trying to hide.
Right.
I think the best place to be is right out in the open.
Right. City on a hill.
That's the best place to be is right out in the open.
City on a hill.
Amen. That's right. So now's not the time. No, we're not the underground church yet.
Amen.
Amen.
No. It's not time to hibernate.
Amen.
It's time to be out there and preach.
Amen.
Amen. Until God shows us it's not time to do that any longer. I mean, we have to be a little more covert with things. But right now it's time to be in the open and use everything to the glory of God, as long as we're not sinning. Now, we could all hide out like some people we've known who want to go hide in the woods somewhere from the Antichrist.
Yeah.
But that isn't productive for the work of the Lord.
Right. No.
Neither is it necessary or prudent for the gospel's sake.
Amen.
There may come a day when you and I have to do that.
Yep.
When the Antichrist is hot on our trail, amen.
That's
when we're in that time period.
Amen.
That'll be, you'll know that. God will reveal that to you. Let me say this, first of all, obviously I'm not against social media. I'd be a huge hypocrite if I was, because I use it all the time. I've used it for a long time, and I have found it very spiritually profitable for the ministry's sake and for the furtherance of the gospel. Many people seem saved and lives changed through that. But I've also have made plenty of mistakes myself.
Right.
And had to repent many times over for messing up and doing things out of pure ignorance and not realizing that some people don't want help.
Yep.
They just want to fight.
Yeah. Yep.
They want a fleshly, carnal debate with you.
Yep.
They want to waste your time. And the devil uses them to drag you down. And your own flesh can lead you into returning railing for railing or angry comment for angry comment. And you'll waste your time. Then it becomes unprofitable.
Right.
Amen. The Bible says, answer not a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit. And the Bible says to answer a fool according to his folly. Okay. So there are different times when we are to answer, but not. We're going to go through that a little bit too here. This is just the introduction. I'll give you a lot of scripture in a little while. I've learned to stay away from people who just hate our ministry and want to destroy the testimony of the church, want to destroy the work that God has us doing. When my only goal on there has always been to stand for the truth in an age of absolute confusion.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
And wickedness, and to weed out fake Christianity and show up for the hypocritical, phony garbage that it really is.
Right.
And there's enough of it out there. Just absolutely hypocritical and fake and phony garbage.
Right.
But I myself have fell into many traps along the way. But a few years back, the Lord opened my eyes to some things, and I repented of some things. And now it's become very profitable. You know, for the ministry's sake. And I believe there are some great dangers in social media. And we're going to look at some of those. We're going to look at some of those dangers. I want you to turn your Bibles to, let's see here. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 1, because we're going to look at the first danger. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 1. We're going to go through these, and I want to show you scripturally why these are dangerous things and why we need to be careful with them. And I think this is one of the most important. This is one of the ones I have seen that is like the number one thing that I see is completely out of order
right.
on social media, and it is insane.
Yep.
Danger number one,
yep.
women who are completely out of order.
Yep.
Right.
You have women that will go on social media sites and they will rebuke men like they are
right.
God-called preachers
right.
and stand up there and argue and rebuke men to their face.
Right.
This is not the way that God intended a lady to be,
Amen.
Ever.
Amen.
And though this may be uncomfortable to you, if it is what I'm saying right now, you better get your heart right with God.
Amen.
Because you don't have a meek and quiet spirit. You have a rebellious spirit.
Amen.
Yep.
Right.
You don't get to use the Bible against the servants of God
right.
and try to make yourself something that God never made you. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 1. It's speaking of wives, but in general it's speaking of ladies
yep.
and their proper conduct.
That's right.
1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 1. Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and wearing of gold or putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God a great prize.
Amen.
Now, God says that a meek and quiet spirit, that's not just in the church house, by the way.
Yep.
That's everywhere you go.
Amen.
You as a lady are supposed to have a meek and quiet spirit.
Right.
You're not to have a loud and stubborn spirit.
Amen.
You're not to be loud and stubborn and make your voice and everything else that you want your agenda known. And that's what we see on social media. One thing about being on social media that is undeniable is that there's no shortage of women who are out of control.
Yep.
Yep.
I see it all the time. You know, some of the people that come after the preaching most are women.
Right.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
They can't do it in the church house because they know what would happen if they do it there. So what they do is they go on social media and they rail against the truth on there.
Right.
And they believe they have some unction from the Holy Ghost that they can do those things.
Right. Defying the precepts of Scripture.
Right. They have no clue what their proper role is at all, period.
Amen.
And they take on some kind of super Jezebel identity online and start preaching and correcting men online.
Right.
They get that Jezebel spirit and they start rebuking and talking to men online like they're just a man and they can rebuke you
right.
and
right.
they have a God-given right to do it.
Right.
Right.
Yep.
Yep. Now some of them, to their defense, are not knowledgeable and they don't understand their proper roles. No one's ever showed them.
Mm-hmm.
Others are out and out rebellious to God's order completely.
Yep.
There's a real problem with much of social media, but with women, it is huge.
Mm-hmm.
Women that name the name of Christ coming online, correcting men and preachers and pastors, and basically they just set up a pulpit to preach.
Right.
Yep.
Yep.
You know, there's a great problem out there today, a misunderstanding, I think, or maybe it's just purposely, and that is that the only thing that women are not allowed to do is preach in church.
Right.
So we see women street preachers out there lifting up their voice loud, yelling and loud and preaching bold like a man.
Waving their fingers around.
Right, waving their finger and pointing them in people's faces and everything else. Is that a meek and quiet spirit?
No.
Is that really what you want your wife out doing? You want your wife out on the streets yelling, arguing with men, pointing fingers?
While you just watch.
I mean, they might as well start spitting and everything else. Right. I mean, this is the problem, though. There's no, they don't have the right application or the understanding. It's not a sin for a lady to be on social media, just like it's not a sin for a lady to go to the grocery store or go in public or anywhere else.
Right.
It's a sin for her not to know her own place that God has put her.
Right.
You know, we can all have a false balance, and the Bible says a false balance is an abomination of the Lord.
Yep.
I don't want my wife having a Facebook because she doesn't really need it.
Amen.
And it's too easy for her to get attacked because of me, too. So.
Yep. Amen.
Oh, yeah. Makes her very vulnerable. So I don't want her on there. They like to come after me, they'll try to use her. They've done it before, right? Anyway, a lady, though, is to have a meek and quiet spirit. She is not to be bold and confrontational with men.
Amen.
Especially strange men online that she doesn't even know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Ladies, if that's a problem, you know what? If you get, if there's a situation that arises like that, bow out, unfriend people, block them, or ignore
right.
them. But don't leave the obedient place that God has put you in.
Amen.
Number one, a lady always must remember, whether it's online or anywhere else. Listen, online doesn't give you some super identity, right? Some superhero identity
right.
that you can go online and act differently than you were supposed to in public with everybody else.
Amen.
It yeah. doesn't give you that right. Number one, a lady needs to remember that she is under her husband. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 22. Some of you say, well, I'm not online. I've never experienced it. Well, there's millions of people that are. Multi-millions. How many people are on Facebook? There is what, like, I don't know what it is, but it's in the billions, right? Yeah. And that's just Facebook, not counting Twitter either.
Yeah.
Lots of people. The Bible says this, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, if the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. When a lady comes out of her head, out of the headship of her husband, and argues boldly like a man, she has no protection
right.
for her activities. And lady, if you run your mouth to someone, you put your husband in a position to correct them and have to correct you.
Yeah.
And you can shame your husband very easily.
That's right.
By your improper conduct online.
Amen.
Absolutely can bring shame. Your husband doesn't stop being your head and the leader of your marriage and the head of your marriage when you go online. Your proper deportment, your proper conduct doesn't change when you go online. You are to be the same there as you are everywhere.
Right.
It's to be consistent. Number two, she's always to have a meek and quiet spirit.
Amen.
Like whether you're online, whether you're at the grocery store, whether you're dealing with anything during the day, you are to have a meek and quiet spirit. Likewise, again, we just read this, but 1 Peter 3, verse number 1. Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting of the hair, and of wearing of gold, and of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament. You wear it as an ornament. You understand that? A meek and quiet spirit is an ornament. Not the fancy clothes, the fancy dress, the fancy earrings, and all those things. I'm not putting that down. I'm just saying that's not. You are to wear grace and meekness as an ornament about you. That is to be, when someone looks at you, when your husband looks at you, when someone else looks at you, it ought to be they see meekness and quietness of spirit.
Right. Amen.
Not somebody bold and confrontational that's going to look to get in men's faces or get on Facebook and be some kind of commando and start arguing with men online.
That's
crazy. That's not the place.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's not your place. And by the way, it isn't your place. If there was a disagreement in the assembly, if something would happen and you had a disagreement with somebody, it's not your place to go up to that man and say something to him.
Right.
Amen.
Never. Not your husband.
It's your husband's place to deal with that.
Right.
Take it to your husband.
Amen.
And then he takes it to him.
Amen.
And they deal with it like men.
Amen.
Why? Because ladies pour on a lot of emotion.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
Let me just be honest with you. You make things 10 times worse most of the time. I don't care if you like it. I said it. I'll say it. Let me say it again. You make things 10 times worse most of the time. Why? Because God never made you to handle those things.
Amen.
Right.
God made your husband to handle those things. When you get in there and start doing it, your emotions get tied to it. You get upset. Your husband can think compartmentally and he can say, okay, well, I know this was a wrong thing to do and we need to deal with this. But you know what? The guy's not the devil, okay? He just made a mistake.
Right.
He handled it wrong. He said something wrong. You in your mind, That's not how it works most of the time. How it works in your mind? He's a devil. Get the spear and stab him through the heart.
Yeah.
It's all over. It's terrible. It's all over.
Yeah.
That's in your mind. It's all destroyed. It's all done. No, it isn't. By the way, that's why women aren't trying to run churches, pastor churches.
Amen. That's right.
Amen.
Oh, my.
Right. Amen.
There's a lot of women in churches today that try to run them, though. There's a lot of Ahabs, effeminate Ahabs, that allow them to.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
That's why a woman's not supposed to lead the marriage. And there's a lot of effeminate Ahabs that allow that.
Right.
Yep.
Right.
And as seen by some of the activities online, I can tell who's wearing the pants of the family and who's in charge.
Right.
My wife has no place arguing with men, ever.
Amen.
Right.
None.
Right.
That's not her place.
She shouldn't even want to.
Right.
It's not her place.
Amen.
No, not at all. I know this is all basic.
It's good.
But it's all necessary, man.
Right.
All fire.
Because, you know, I'll tell you something. What happens is, and I know sometimes, ladies, you get upset when you hear things like this. I understand that. I really do. That bothers me a bit, but I understand it. Amen. It doesn't bother me a bit.
Amen.
I'm never going to be scared to look at you and tell you that. I'm never going to be scared to look at my wife and tell her that. I don't care how much huffing and puffing goes on. I don't care how much somebody gets upset. I don't care how many bad, dirty looks I get. I don't care. It doesn't matter to me. Why? Because it needs to be said. It's
Amen.
God's order. You're not rebelling against me. You're rebelling against God.
Right.
Amen.
He laid it down. I don't like how you say it. Well, that's tough. If you were the one saying it, I guess it would matter, but you're not.
Amen.
Right.
You don't get to make that decision.
Not me.
Right. See how that works?
Hey. Yep. Amen.
By the way, if you think I'd fall for that whole I don't like the way you said it thing, you didn't break it. You don't like what's being said.
Right.
You don't like the boldness and straightforwardness of it being said to you.
Amen.
Right. Right.
Because there's so many effeminate men in America with skinny jeans on and limp wrists.
Right.
Believe me, I'll see 1,000 of them tonight when I go out there.
Right.
Make me sick. Walking down through Northfield, and all you see is a bunch of skinny jean little limp-wristed dudes walking around.
Right.
Yep.
Right.
I'm telling you, it's enough to make you sick when you look at it.
Right.
Oh, don't talk about that, preacher. Come on, don't talk. Why? Look at our society. You don't even know what bathroom to go to now.
Right.
Come on, really? Wake up.
Right.
Yeah. Right. Amen.
If we're not bold, who's going to be?
Right.
Amen. Amen.
Wicked.
It is wicked.
Wicked would be bold.
I like what one preacher says, and particularly it greatly becomes and exceedingly beautifies women professing godliness who ought to bear much with their husbands and be in silence, which is what the apostle has a principal regard unto, and to encourage the more to exercise of it a meek and quiet spirit. That is a mind that will not give provocation to others.
Amen.
That means that you're not a lady that provokes others and makes them angry and upset.
Amen.
Nor receive irritation by the provocation of others. So in meekness, you're able to handle things. Sometimes people say, sometimes your husband says things wrong. Most of the time your husband says things wrong. And you're able to bear it. And not blow it up and make it 10 times worse. Right? You handle it with meekness.
Amen.
You're not easily irritated by it. You don't get huffy with it.
Thankfully.
Right?
Amen.
You're able to bear it. That's the meek and quiet spirit. Meekness will prevent the first. It'll prevent you from provoking others. Quietness will guard against the last. So quietness will guard against you getting upset when you're provoked as a lady. Listen, there's nothing that looks worse. I mean nothing. Than a lady yelling.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah. There is nothing that looks worse than that.
Yeah.
No, they shouldn't preach either. Well, actually they shouldn't lift up their voice.
Right.
They can preach to their children. Amen. Preaching is speaking too.
Yeah,
but they just don't lift up their voice.
Third trimester of pregnancy, is it okay to open air preach?
That would probably be a negative note.
Yeah.
She's repeating me right now.
Amen. Yeah. All right. It's okay. But you know what? She should not be that way. She should not have that. She should be quiet. Nothing looks worse than a lady yelling.
Right.
When she's lost it and she's yelling.
Right.
Your children watch that.
Right.
Oh, yes, they do.
And if you're doing that, if you're conducting yourself that way, that becomes acceptable behavior to her, to them.
Exactly.
That behavior becomes acceptable. And it's not acceptable.
Amen.
It's not acceptable for a lady to leave that meek and quiet spirit and start yelling and screaming.
That's right.
No, not at all.
Yep, no matter what.
Hillary.
What's that?
Hillary,
yeah. When Hillary raises her voice, it's like a witch is like has that shrill that goes through you.
Oh,
that screech.
Cackle.
Oh, yeah. That cackle of a witch.
It's just cackle. Legion's talking to you.
I don't like any of them, but I'll tell you what, I could listen, I could at least bear to listen to Donald Trump for 4 years, as opposed to listen to that witch screech for 4 years.
Right.
Yelling and she's going to kill everybody. I'm just telling you, she's going to kill everybody. She's a murderer. She's going to kill everybody. Anyway.
Why are you married?
That's right. But it's a great price, the Bible says. It's a great price.
Amen.
All the ornaments placed on the head and the body of the most illustrious female are in the sight of God of no worth. But a meek and quiet spirit are in his sight invaluable.
Amen.
Because proceeding from and leading to himself, being incorruptible, surviving the ruins of the body and the ruins of time and enduring eternally. Of a calm temper, that's what it means. A lady, so they don't have to go online and just get mad and just start yelling and contending with men and arguing.
Right.
That's not their place.
Right. Amen.
They're to have a calm temper or contented mind, a heart free from passion, pride, envy, and irritability, a soul not subject to the agitations and vexations of those who live for fashion and who seek to be distinguished for external adorning.
Right.
So the Bible says a lady, it's the hidden man of the heart.
Right? Amen.
Modesty.
That's right.
Not flamboyance. Not, I want everybody to see me when I walk in a room. That's not the way you should be.
Right. Yeah.
You shouldn't have that desire. I want to stick out.
Yeah.
Shouldn't have that desire.
No, it should be the opposite.
Right.
Amen.
It's not meekness. It's not quietness. By the way, the opposite of that is the Proverbs 7 woman, the strange woman.
Yeah.
What does the Bible say about the strange woman?
She's never abided in her house.
Right. She is loud and stubborn.
Right.
And let me say this to you. Okay. Your feet may abide in your house, but your fingers can get online and go all over the world and cause a lot of destruction.
Yeah, right. Anything.
Yeah, you can get on the computer and you can take your fingers and you can get all over the place and you can wreak havoc on everyone like that. Proverbs chapter 7 talks about the strange woman, right?
Yeah.
The strange woman. Now, that's likened to the Roman Catholic Church, as well as, personally, as a strange woman. Loud and stubborn, her feet abide not.
Right.
Right? In her own home. Always got to be about. Always got to be wandering about. One of the dangers is that you will leave the godly subjection under your husband and start being loud and confrontational with men online. Or women online, for that matter.
Yep.
Nowhere in the Bible does it show you should be bold and confrontational in the streets.
Nope.
But the absolute opposite is taught. Yet I see many women on social media, Jezebels to the core, instead of the trait of a meek and quiet spirit. Nope. They think that God is pleased with them to be bold and authoritative when they speak. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11, please. Again, this is due to the godly order that God has set down. This is God's order.
Yeah.
All right? This is not, well, that's your opinion. No, it's not my opinion. It's what the Bible says.
Right.
Amen.
This is God's order.
Yeah.
And, by the way, stop it. Okay. I'll never get that out of my head. No. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 11. Let the women learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. Now, this is not speaking just in the assembly.
Amen.
This is speaking as a general rule of life.
Right. Amen.
For what? How do I know that? Because he goes back to creation.
Amen.
Yeah.
He goes back to God's order of creation.
Right.
And he says, for Adam was first formed, then Eve. So that for is the same word as because.
Yep.
Right? So he's given the reason. Because for Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived is the transgression.
Right.
She was fooled.
Yep. She believed it.
Like Eve, the Bible says, that she loved the simplicity. Right?
Yep.
It was in Christ Jesus.
Yep.
Right? Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and holiness and sobriety. What does that mean? Why did he bring up childbearing there? Because he's showing you the proper place that she's to be.
Right.
Do you understand that? That's where her protection is. He's not talking about if she has babies, she'll be saved from eternal damnation. No. I know there's people that teach that. There's people that teach every goofy thing out there. But that's not what the Bible says. What does it say here? What is he teaching here? Is he teaching about eternal life? No. What is he teaching? He's teaching about proper order.
Amen.
He's teaching about the proper order. So what does he say here? He says, notwithstanding, he said, she's not to preach. She's not to teach or to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. Why? Because Adam was first formed, then Eve, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. So now he takes her back to her proper role, her proper place where God will preserve her, where God will give her power and protection and covering is in her childbearing, in her guiding the home, in her raising the children, in her loving her husband and loving her children, being chaste to keep her at home.
Amen.
That the word of God be not blasphemed.
Right.
That's where she's supposed to be.
Right.
Not online arguing with men everywhere. That's not the place that God intended her to be at all.
Amen.
This is the place. Her place is childbearing.
Amen.
Guiding the home. Not being a bold, confrontational preacher online or in the assembly or out on the street.
Right.
This used to be basics. I mean, people used to understand this. And some of you might be surprised that are older. You're like, oh, man, I've heard all this. Yeah, I know you have, but a lot of these young people haven't.
Right.
They've never heard anything like this before. Why? Because preachers don't preach on it. Why? Because women get mad, give them dirty looks, and the offering goes down, and they get worried about it.
Right. Yep. Yeah.
That's why.
Right.
And they can't afford the stage. Or their drum set or their rock and roll music.
Right.
Yeah.
Or the $1 million building with the mortgage on it.
Or the
mortgage.
Yeah.
Right. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse number 13 lays down another principle. I'm fully aware that it's dealing with widows and other things in this chapter, but it's also dealing with women in general here. And with all, 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse number 13, and with all they learn to be idle. I'll tell you what, a lot of women get into trouble. They get online. They're not doing their work. They get online and they learn to be idle. And they're getting online and they're arguing with men or they're confronting things. Or we'll talk about the spending of time there at the end of this sermon. But wandering about from house to house and not only idle. So you know what goes along with being idle? Tattlers also and busybodies.
Right.
Going from house to house, speaking things which they ought not.
Amen.
Right. Amen.
And you know what? There's some women in families that they go to one set of kids and they, married couples and they cause trouble there. Then they go to one set and they cause trouble there. And they travel this gossip back and forth through the family line. And there's always a war and antagonistic things between everybody. Why? Because half the time you shouldn't even know what's going on with somebody else.
Right.
Amen. Yeah.
You know, whatever struggles you're having in your life, unless I can help you with something, I don't want to really know about it. I mean, unless I can help you with it,
Amen. If
there's something that you need help with. But if you're complaining about your household, I don't want to hear you complain about your household. You go get in your prayer closet, get right with God, and make the changes that are necessary.
Amen.
But for you to go spreading gossip and tattling and spreading things all along, that's what much of social media is doing, just spreading gossip around.
Yeah.
Busybodies in other men's affairs.
Yep,
right.
Amen.
Amen.
The Bible says, I will therefore the younger women marry. What's he talking about? The same thing he was talking about before, childbearing.
Yep.
There's something about having babies that keeps you busy.
Right.
Right? Keeps you real busy.
Yep.
More babies you have, the less time you have to get in trouble. Amen.
Amen.
That's true. Right? trouble all the time. You get in trouble when you're chasing those babies around, changing diapers all the time, and all that other fun stuff, right?
Right.
Mothering them, making food.
Yeah.
Nursing one, chasing after the other, all that fun stuff.
Right.
It's time to get into trouble like right. that. Yeah. By the way, you know that's what God was saying here. That's what God's telling you here. You keep busy raising your children, you keep out of trouble.
Amen.
You don't do that. The opposite of being a homemaker or a keeper at home is what?
Right.
To be idle, wandering about from house to house. And not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies. Right. Speaking things which they ought not.
Right.
That's the opposite.
Yep.
And I'll tell you what, with social media, a lot of times that's what's happening.
Yep. Right.
They're not just going on there to keep in touch with friends and family. It turns into gossip and railing and everything else.
Right. Yep.
You tell you what, you put a woman in the midst of an argument like that, you make it 10 times worse.
Right.
Yep.
And heat that thing up.
Right. The devil loves it.
All right, that was just point number one.
Amen.
There's 6 more to go. If you're not hungry. DJ looks a little mad. He's hungry.
Right.
See, I'm ready to eat, man, already. At least he's got his Men in Black suit on today.
White.
He's got that. He doesn't have the pink tie. Huh? No pink tie today.
Next Sunday.
Do you have a pink suit? Thank the Lord. Don't any of you buy him a pink suit either.
I
would
still buy it. I kind of like his pink tie.
Yeah. Actually, yeah.
Come on. I got a pink shirt.
Oh, I'm sorry. He wants to recognize the pink shirt on.
Oh, man.
Wow. That's probably pink. Light red. Red.
Amen.
All right.
That was feminine.
Moving right along. Danger number two. Inappropriate relationships with the opposite sex can form online.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Yep.
Real easy, that's right. I've seen it happen. For some reason, when people go online, they can forget about proper rules between a man and a woman.
Right.
Yeah.
Many times, they can get taken away with that and taken up into a situation. I think that private messaging can be one of the most dangerous issues with this and the opposite sex.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Somehow we lose some of the natural barriers that God has placed on us through social media. In person, it's not as easily done as it is online.
Yeah, that's right.
People lose their God-given inhibitions and shame and ended up, you know, posting pictures and other things they would not normally do.
Right.
There is a destruction of shame and privacy that we must never cross. Or destroyed. By the way, just because some people know, my wife sees every private message that comes to me like that. It goes right to her iPad or phone or whatever, and she sees it.
Accountability.
You know, if you men need to talk about me sometime, you call me.
Yeah.
Right.
You call me.
Amen.
All right? But there's a reason all those go to my wife, those messages.
Right.
That way some silly little harlot can't say that I did something I didn't do, number one. Secondly, if she sees some silly little harlot saying something to me that she shouldn't say, she could take care of it real quick.
Right.
Sees it right away.
Hey, right.
And then I remain blameless.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
That's the way it's supposed to be.
Amen.
That's the accountability that is necessary, especially for the office of a bishop or for a pastor, to make sure. Now, that's the same for you too, but as well. But I'm saying that's the reason why it's there. It's there so everything is done in the open. When I work on my computer, it's all in my living room right there.
Amen.
Everything I have is open. Why? Because I don't have anything to hide. That's why. I have nothing to hide. You're not going to be able to falsely accuse me of any of those things because it's right there in the open. Where my children walk in and out, where everybody is right there. Because I'm not doing anything I should be doing by the grace of God.
Amen.
So it's right there.
Amen.
Right there for them to see. Amen. That's why those private messages go right there. She doesn't have her own Facebook, but she's signed into mine. So she can monitor and see it all. It's just a safety. Amen.
Right. Amen.
Somebody messages me, you know, more than one. I'm very cautious about that.
Yep. Right.
And she knows what is being said to me by any female or anything like that. I have accountability to make sure that I'm protected from liars and Jezebels, and it's just overall wise conduct to follow.
Yep.
But I see many ladies coming online and are just talking to men privately and having all these conversations. Not Bible questions. Some don't have husbands to ask. I understand that. And some have lost husbands they can't ask and don't know. And my wife and I don't mind them emailing and messaging and that sort of thing. But I see a lot of nonsense online where women are private messaging men, confiding in them and talking to them.
Right.
I talked to a man that, I guess he's upset with me, because I told him the truth.
Right.
Some lady was, and she got mad at me too. Amen. So, but she was upset because she was talking to some man alone,
yep.
having conversations with this man alone, and this man was having a lot of health problems and controversy in his life, and he was in, I mean, he was railing on the devil and sinning and things like that.
Right.
Yep. He was doing wrong, and I called him out, and I said, you shouldn't be doing that like this, that's wrong.
Right.
So then this lady comes in and tries to, and has this emotional attachment to the argument,
yep.
and tries to emotionally defend what he's doing. I'm like,
right.
He just dropped an F-bomb on the devil. Are you kidding me?
Right.
That's not biblical. That's wicked.
Yeah.
The Bible says that it's not to bring a railing accusation
Amen.
Against the devil.
Right.
That's what the Bible says.
Right.
But the Lord rebuked thee. That's what you say. Yeah. You don't bring a railing accusation against. You don't cuss out the devil.
Right.
Right. That's what he wants.
Right.
Right. That's what he wants. That's exactly what he wants. You're playing in the flesh then, and then you're putty in his hands.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's not, but anyway, so this is going on, and this lady is, and I said, look, lady, I'm going to be honest with you. Look, lady.
Look,
lady. No Paul is
I'm going to be honest with you. You have too much of an emotional attachment to this man.
Yep.
Yeah.
And you're a married lady, and you shouldn't be having private conversations with this man in the first place.
That's right.
It's inappropriate. You have nothing to say to this man.
That's right.
You have nothing, you shouldn't be talking to him like this. You shouldn't be laughing and joking with him in private messages and all those other things. That stuff shouldn't be going on.
Amen.
I mean, they're around the same age. It's like you're talking like a 75-year-old, 80-year-old man or something. Or in that, you're talking to somebody your age that's dealing with right there, and you're having an emotional affair with this man.
That's right.
And I'm going to tell you something. That can happen online very easily. People can start to have an emotional affair with somebody else.
Oh, yeah.
And that emotional affair starts emotionally. It starts with a contact like that, and then it leads into the physical and worse.
Right.
And even
right.
if it doesn't lead into that, it is still wrong because
right.
emotionally, a woman is tied to that person.
Right.
You shouldn't be, listen to me, you shouldn't be, no lady should be online emotionally divulging things to another man.
Right.
You should not be doing that. Confiding that, complaining about your husband, complaining about your situation, complaining about your home life and everything. You should not be doing that with no man. And no man should be talking to a woman about his home life and all those things. You are forming an emotional attachment that is sin.
Right.
It is wicked.
Right.
Jesus said when those things happen emotionally or in your heart, you are guilty of them already.
That's right.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Your wife ought to be your best friend. You ought to be able to talk to her about everything.
Amen.
Your husband ought to be your best friend. You ought to be able to talk to him about anything.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
That's the way God intended it to be.
Right.
Right.
Not for you to be confiding and talking and to another man and pouring out your heart. Listen, sometimes we're kind of dumb. I'm just being honest. We are.
Right.
Sometimes we want to help people and we don't realize that we're being set for a trap.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Now listen to me. You young men in ministry,
yeah.
listen to me closely.
Right.
Pay very close attention to this because you will need it. You will definitely need it. You can be set up for a trap where that person doesn't even realize what they're doing, but they don't have proper headship in their home, whether it's a husband or whether it's a daughter, and they can set up and they form an emotional attachment to you when you're trying to help them, and it becomes destructive, and it's dangerous, and it can harm you.
Right.
You don't allow that to happen. You don't allow those emotional attachments to happen. Now, it doesn't mean the lady's a Jezebel or she's wicked or she's trying to do that. That's not what it means. It means that she is not under proper headship. So the order of things is all messed up already. She is dependent. She's not dependent on the head, whoever that is, her father or husband, and she gets herself into trouble.
Right.
Right.
She's deceived.
Right.
She's deceived. And then you come along innocently wanting to help, and there's a trap that Satan is laying for you.
Right.
That's right.
So that's why I learned this after some time. It took me a while, but I figured, well, actually, my wife showed me a lot of these things too, because she could see things that I couldn't, because, you know, I just feel sorry, and I'm like, okay, well, I want to help somebody, I just want to help them, you know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
My wife can see that and be like, okay, yeah, but this person can just talk to me.
Right.
No, I'm not a pastor, but I'm a lady, and she
right.
can just talk to me.
Right.
Right.
If I have a question, I'll bring it to you. That's fine. or we can talk together. But you know what?
Right, right.
That person, this person or that person doesn't need your attention.
Yes.
Right.
Amen.
It's an imbalance. It's wrong.
That's right.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
No, you don't. When you first pass, you don't realize those things.
Right.
You know? And you don't realize that there's an authority and a headship issue that's not being followed, that you don't really fathom some of those things. Because in your mind, and in that person's mind, all they want is help. But they need to understand and be taught what proper help is.
Yeah, right.
And it's not to consume the pastor's time. It's not to consume. It's not to develop an attachment or a need.
Right.
Right? Because it quickly becomes manipulation. It quickly becomes dangerous.
Yeah.
Right.
And sometimes as men, you don't see that. Because all you see is, well, I'm just trying to help someone.
Right.
Right? Yeah. So you have to remember those things. Right? And the same thing can happen online. Listen, lady, your heart was meant to be given away. And if you are not careful, you will confide in a man to the point to have an emotional affair with them online. By doing that is fulfilling some desire for affection and companionship. See, guys, you have to understand, that's how ladies work. They're very emotional.
Yeah.
They, for a guy, there's like he's like, there's no attachment here to this. No, because men are attached. Their attachment usually is physical.
Yeah,
right.
Okay? They're attracted. It's a physical attachment that men have.
Yeah.
That's, you know... That's the way men are, all right, primarily. But women have an emotional attachment. They can very quickly become emotionally attached to something. You don't even realize that you're in a trap, all right? So just remember that there's a proper order that needs to be kept, even online, especially online.
Right.
Or young ladies not being cautious of how they talk to other men. Privately or privately or form relationships and other things, be careful.
Yep.
Be dangerous.
Amen.
Everything ought to be in the open.
Yep.
When you start to do that, you're being flirtatious and dangerous.
Right.
Amen.
There's no reason for a lady, even as a lady here, whether you're a wife, whether you're single, whatever you are, there's no reason for you to have a long, lengthy conversation with the opposite sex.
That's right. Amen.
Yep. There really isn't any reason for that.
Amen.
Amen. There really isn't any reason for that.
Yep.
As a wife, you shouldn't be too talkative
right.
with another man.
Amen.
It's improper.
Yep.
Right.
As a man, you shouldn't be too talkative with somebody else's wife.
Right.
Right. It shouldn't get to the point of giddiness or of too much joking or anything like that. Because the conversation becomes too light and trouble can come with that.
Yep.
Right.
Amen. Are you listening?
Right.
I hope you're paying attention.
Good,
listen and listen good. It's very important you grasp these things. This is how you don't fall for a trap.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
That's right.
Right.
Keep the conversation very weighted on Scripture and straightforward.
That's right.
Yeah,
amen.
There really isn't much of a need.
Yep.
I mean, honestly, I'm going to talk to your husband. I mean, I'll say hi to you, fellowship, you know, a little bit. I mean, that's something I don't want to say hi to
right.
Or be... But there's really not a whole lot I need to say.
Right. Amen.
Right?
Right.
I'm going to keep my conversation towards your husband.
That's right.
Because that's the proper biblical order.
Amen.
Hey, you know, how you doing? How you feeling? You know, if you're sick or something like that, yeah. You know, praying for you, that sort of thing, it's fine. But you know what? Anything beyond that really isn't necessary. There isn't really a real big need for that. It is not good practice. It's foolishness. And it can lead to error.
Right.
So that seems kind of legalistic. No, it seems kind of biblical.
Yeah. Amen.
Right.
Amen. It just seems kind of biblical.
Yep.
See, we have underwent in this country this fundamental transformation over 100 years of like proper deportment with women. I mean, topics that are brought up, things that are discussed,
right.
All those things have just like gone by the wayside. And there's this unisex movement today,
right?
This Baphomet. Merging of the sexes into one, to where we don't understand what's proper and what's not anymore. We've like lost that understanding.
Right.
Yep. You know? And hey, when we're a bunch of guys in a van together rolling down the road, we have a different conversation than we do when we're sitting here.
Right.
With all of you and the women are here.
Yep.
That's not a sin. It's just different company.
Yep.
Amen. Right.
That's why when you used to have people used to come over to your home and everything like that, after dinner and everything like that, the ladies would a lot of times go to one room and the men would go to another room and they would sit around and they would talk and fellowship. Why?
No.
Well, because the guys have more in common with guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Should at least.
And the girls, they want to be around ladies. And by the way, let me say something to you. If you're more comfortable being around men and you're a lady, you better get your heart right.
Right.
Amen. You got a problem.
Right.
Amen. You got a problem. You got a fellowship problem. You got a heart problem. You better get it right.
That's right.
Right.
You shouldn't be more comfortable around men.
Yep.
Right.
You, your husband, yes. Your children, yes. Your father, yes. But men in general, no.
Right.
You should have a desire to be around other ladies. If not, then you have an unnatural affection that has been bred in you, and you need to get back to the scriptures and see the truth.
Amen.
You shouldn't have more comfortable talking to men all the time. That shouldn't be a comfortable thing for you. It ought to be very awkward for you to do that.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
I know, that's old-fashioned, isn't it?
Amen. Amen.
Old-fashioned.
Need more of it.
Right, old-fashioned.
Amen.
Right. Let's see here. Woo, I'm just going to have plenty of time.
No clock.
That's right. All right, you should not, anyway, we talked about that. Many men have sought to help women out and been trapped by them, so just remember that. I've already talked about that. I won't go any further than that. In the wrong place, the wrong time, and the wrong communication will lead you to sin. Amen?
Right.
Don't play games. Follow God's order, whether online or in person. You know, Dinah went out to see the daughters of the land, and her curiosity got her defiled, didn't it?
Yep.
That loss of purity and defiled.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Somebody died, led to death, didn't it? When lust had a baby, right?
Right.
Yep. Lust had a baby there, and it, what did it bring forth?
Wiped them all out.
Death.
Right.
That's right.
Yep.
How about Achan? Achan trafficked in the accursed thing also, didn't he?
Yep.
How about when kings go out to war, David was on the rooftop gawking at somebody else's wife?
Yeah.
When he should have been out warring. And then what happened? Lust conceived, and it brought forth
death. That's right.
Sin and then death, right.
Right.
That's right. We've seen people run off with each other online, leave their wife, their children, and go whoring around.
Yep.
It's happened.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Having intimate conversations privately with the opposite sex. If ever a conversation comes up, it should always be viewed by the wife or the husband and put short to the point.
Amen.
If a lady contacts me, as many people used to contact Spurgeon as well. I mean, he got letters from everybody and things like that. And other pastors, I mean, it happens in the ministry. I always answer initially, letting them know of my wife, and I give them my wife's email address, and I say, hey, you can contact my wife. You know, age matters as well. Use wisdom.
Yeah.
As you see, you know, obviously, I mean, there's some really old grandmas that talk to me online. Things like that. I mean, that's probably not going to be as big of an issue, okay? But when you have people that are in a room, now it would be if those grandmas were talking to Brother Finney. Look, you slickster, right? I'll be talking to grandmas. An old southern charm you pull up.
That Texas accent will get them everything.
Even online they can't hear. No, I'm just saying that be cautious.
Right.
Know who you're speaking to. Understand that. I mean, there's just, you know, understand that. Be cautious. Be sober with the opposite sex. The Bible says it led captives silly women. One of the tricks always played by the advocates of error, and one of the ways by which they seek, and this happens online a lot too, by the way, to promote their purposes, Satan began his work of temptation with Eve rather than Adam. And the advocates of error usually follow his example.
Mm-hmm.
There are always weak-minded women enough in any community to give an opportunity of practicing these wicked arts, and often aims of the imposter and deceiver can be best secured by appealing to them. They use women.
Yeah.
Right? Such women are easily flattered. They are charmed by the graceful manners of religious instructors. They lend a willing ear to anything that has the appearance of religion, and their hearts are open to anything that promises to advance the welfare of the world. At the same time, they are just such persons as the propagators of error can rely on. They have leisure, they have wealth, they are busy, they move about in society, and by their activity they obtain an influence to which they are by no means entitled by their piety or talents. There are indeed very many women in the world who cannot be so easily led away as men. But it cannot be denied also that there are those who are just adapted to the purpose of such as seek to spread plausible error. The word rendered silly women means probably little women and then weak women, laden with sins, with so many sins that they seem to be burdened with them. The idea is they are under the influence of sinful desires and propensities and hence are better adapted to the purpose of deceivers. out of women's spread false doctrine.
Yep. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Amen.
Look at all the movies, Seventh-day Adventists.
Yep. Right.
The impressive guys following them.
Yep.
I can't get over that.
Good old Enoch.
How their prophet is a woman.
Right.
And they just, like, follow her, and they're just like, yeah.
Ellen.
Ellen G. White tells us.
Prophet Ellen.
Ellen G. White tells us. I mean, seriously? How do you say that with a straight face? And they're all, like, effeminate. They look like they need a cheeseburger or a steak or something.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, eat some red meat or something. Corn.
That's corn dog. Vegetarian.
It's just, is that what they are? Well, they do need to eat some red meat then. They are sickly. It's just weird. And you follow a woman around, like, she's, like, anyway. All right, I got to keep moving. Danger number three, imperfect medium for communication.
Right.
One of the other dangers of social media is that it's not a perfect medium for communication. Listen, if I send you a... And texting is the same way, folks.
Yeah.
All right? Sometimes you can send a text to somebody,
right,
and what you mean to say doesn't come out in that text.
Right.
But what they see that you said is way different than that.
No voice inflection.
Right, no voice inflection, that's right, or anything like that. And then you send a text that sounds like you're just being a jerk. If they send you back to, well, I don't want to talk to you anyway, you jerk. And then, you know, it's like, you know, you seem annoyed or whatever,
right,
because you're just typing and there's no, you know, there's no, there's your voice doesn't change. You're not, you know, they can't see your face.
Right. They read it how they want.
Right. They read something else into it. It's very ineffective, or it's a very imperfect form of communication.
Amen.
That's why if you have something serious to talk to you about, don't text, don't type, call them.
Amen.
Or see them in public, okay?
Right.
Just look them eye to eye.
Yeah.
That's the best thing. It's like Brother Aaron with the wheelchair. You know, I'm going to use that as an example. This place really took advantage of this wheelchair. It's not the way it should be. I told them, you know what? Let's load it up and let's drive over there and look at them face to face. I'm not going to call them on the phone. I'm going to look them right in their eye and talk to them right there. I'm going to be like, I want you to sit down in this wheelchair and wheel around this room.
Yeah.
Face to face. You can't do that on the phone.
No.
Right.
But you can do it face to face. And you can, business is done like that. Important matters face to face.
Yep. That's right.
Then, most people cannot tell by the way you're writing. I mean, I mean, I'm very straightforward, as you know.
Writing caps half the time.
Yeah, because I'm mad at Garrett. Right? Are you yelling? Yes, I am. Yelling at Garrett. That's right. For his Santa coat. But, anyway,
corn dogs.
And corn dogs.
Quick Trip corn.
It's not even a state fair corn dog. I mean, really. Anyway, but you know, if you're a straightforward person like I'm not good with, like, I had to stop doing a lot of things online because I figured out that I'm not very good at it, and it doesn't come across right. It's so blunt and straightforward the way I am that it just that I'm not going to be debating and talking to people like that because it just doesn't do well. If I can sit with them in a room and talk with them, that'd be better.
Amen.
Right? I can do a better job with that than I can typing something out online because it's just I'm not that type. I'm just too straightforward and blunt.
Right.
And no nonsense, and it just doesn't come out. Their feelings get hurt, that's right. So a lot of times it's a poor way to communicate. I've actually met people who walk around and they speak in like Facebook. Remember that guy that was like LOL ians? LOL? Nate's like, did you just LOL me?
JK.
What's that?
JK.
Yeah, the guy was doing like all that. I'm like,
bad.
This is strange.
It's really gay.
He was like speaking in the internet, like in Facebook language or whatever. I was like, this is really weird. Like, you should get off the internet for a little while and just like talk to humans.
Strange.
I know a joke, but he was speaking like in social media language.
Right.
That's what he was doing.
Super gay.
Yeah. But by the way, this also, the Bible says that we're to meditate. I'm going to get to some verses here. Turn to Genesis chapter 24. A lot of times, Facebook and those memes, we are like, it's an imperfect way to communicate, but also it demands of you an instant answer a lot of times. And you know what? That sometimes what that does is it causes us not to reflect on what we're going to say, not to meditate on what we're going to say, but somebody's firing off at us. So the Bible says a soft answer turns away wrath. You know what I mean? But grievous words stir up anger, right?
Yeah.
So what happens is a lot of times what we do is we'll get somebody will fire off at us And then if we're not careful, we feel the need to instantly answer that person without really meditating and thinking because of the media, because of the medium of social media and the conversation that you're having, you just tend to fire back right away or give an answer right away. We think that we have to answer them right away. Well, you don't really have to.
Right.
But you get caught up and you believe that you have to.
Yeah.
Right? And then sometimes you answer it inappropriately. I think everybody has been guilty of that.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
All of us, if you've ever been on social media, have answered somebody probably the way you shouldn't have.
Yeah.
Amen?
Exactly.
I know I am. So, but it's like this fast food instant society here that's like, we just want to get in line, get it done in 1 minute, and get down the road, and that's just what we want to do. Well, you know what? We don't ever take time. Genesis chapter 24, verse number 63 says this, "And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide. And he lifted up his eyes and he saw, and behold, the camels were coming." What did he do? He just went out to meditate.
Amen.
That's what he did. He just went out and he meditated.
Yep. Not a new age man.
Right.
Yeah.
No, he meditated on God's word.
Amen.
Joshua chapter 1, verse number 8. "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night."
Amen.
You know, it doesn't even just say, thou shalt read it day and night.
Meditate.
That's already a given.
Yep.
But it says you actually meditate on what you've read.
Right.
Yeah.
Right?
Well,
yeah, I'm going to get there. "But thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success."
Amen.
What is it? What does the Bible say? It says, you know, you're not going to be prosperous if you don't meditate on God's word.
That's right.
Amen.
You can read it all the way through, but you also have to meditate.
Yeah, amen.
Yep.
Right? And you say, what does that do with what we're talking about? Well, what does it do with talking about? Is it? Sometimes you're not meditating and thinking about it on the proper answer that you should give.
Yeah.
The Bible says to sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer of every man that asketh you the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. But we're to be ready with an answer. That means we have to meditate on God's word. That means that we have thought it out when somebody asks us a question or when something comes up, and then we give a measured response to that. We don't become reactionary with everything and just fire off at everything.
Amen.
There is a difference in like preaching from a pulpit and preaching in the open air and things like that. There's a difference in that and then answering somebody one-on-one or speaking to somebody one-on-one. It's like with you guys, we're out preaching. I have to remind you guys, okay, when you come down off that pulpit, your voice level goes completely down and you're having a conversation with people.
Right.
Amen.
You're not yelling at them. You're not blasting them. But you're having a conversation with them.
Amen.
Right?
Yep.
Amen. 1 Timothy 4:15, "Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profit may appear to all."
Right.
We need to sometimes just before we answer people, to meditate.
Amen.
Think about what you're... Think it over before you become reactionary. Think it over.
Right.
You know when we get into trouble sometimes is when we do answer people that we shouldn't answer them.
Right.
Yeah.
It's an imperfect medium. Anyway, if I know there's some things that I have to be in front of people to have a discussion with them about, it's not going to work online. It's not going to work in an email. I need to be in front of them. We need to speak face to face.
Right.
That's the way that we should deal with it.
Amen.
Okay? So Proverbs 26:4 says, "Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also be like unto him." Verse number 5 says, "Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit."
Amen.
We make a mistake sometimes when we answer some men, when we are better off not answering them. You know what happens when you answer someone that you shouldn't answer? Strife.
That's right.
Yep.
Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 23. Sometimes it's better just to stay completely away from the situation. Don't even answer it. Because you know that by the way things are going, this is not going to be received.
Yes.
They're just going to get upset.
Yep.
They're just going to get mad about it. And I'm going to get all frustrated with it. So I'm not going to answer.
Yeah.
Just going to walk away. Have a good day.
Especially in the streets.
That's in the streets.
Yeah.
That's in person. That's in anything, by the way.
Amen.
But especially online.
Yeah.
Because you cannot have the same form of communication you can in person.
Right.
It doesn't work that way. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 23 says, "But foolish and unlearned questions avoid." That's Black Hebrew Israelites right there.
Right. Amen.
"Knowing that they do gender strife." Now look at this. People always try to use this verse, "And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patience, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth,
Amen.
And that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him at his will. But you know where we make the mistake? We answer some people and we get into strife by doing it.
Yeah.
You have to have wisdom when you're dealing with people as to not answer them if it's going to cause just strife.
Yeah.
If it's not going to go anywhere, don't answer them.
Right.
Don't answer them. Because the Bible says to avoid those, because the servant of the Lord must not strive. You end up striving when you do. You end up getting into strife when you answer them.
Yeah.
That's where I've made a lot of mistakes. Online and social media, I can tell you that. I've made a lot of mistakes before about that because I've answered people that I just should have left alone and not answered them.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It put me in a position to for strife, right?
Yeah.
And a problem. And I had to repent of that. I had to walk away from that and say, you know what, I'm not going to do that anymore. Yeah. By the way, that gentle unto all men is like a great paradox. Because when you think about it, was Jesus gentle with all men when he whipped them out of the temple? And other times he called them generation of vipers and everything else. We think about that and we think, well, what does that mean? It's a paradox. It's, yes, the general rule is be gentle with all men, but sometimes there's a time to be forceful.
Right.
There's a time to be straightforward.
Yep.
He was gentle.
Right?
He could have been.
Right.
To not to be angry with the cause.
Exactly. So we need to be ready to give an answer. Amen. But most things you're not going to be able to handle. And hey, if you got somebody where you know they're a legitimate brother in Christ, and you have a disagreement with them online, one of the dangers is that that can perpetuate and get worse. Call them on the phone if you have to.
Yeah.
Amen.
Just have a talk with them.
Yeah, amen.
Try to do it that way. I had a guy just this week, I mean just yesterday, called me on the phone. And he said, I want to apologize to you. I said, do you remember me? No. Not really. I mean, sort of, maybe. I don't know. Not really. He said, I railed on you about a year ago. And he said, I learned the Hiles form of repentance. I learned the Hudson form. And I was a ruck, but I know these things. And I didn't know biblical repentance.
Wow.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
And he said, after studying it, I found out that I was wrong.
Wow.
Amen. And I just want to apologize for the way I talked to you.
Amen.
I need you to forgive me. And of course, I forgave him.
Amen.
Amen.
But he understood.
Amen.
You know, he understood that the best way is to call.
Right.
And of course, I forgave him.
Praise God.
Amen. But,
that's awesome.
Amen. It is powerful. That's right. All right. So danger number four, pretending to be someone you're not in real time.
Uh-oh. Yeah.
There are people who pretend to be strong Christians and warriors for Christ on Facebook and online.
Yeah.
But in real life, you find out they're actually into pornography, struggling with
right.
sin, and have no victory in their life.
Right.
Yeah.
They're absolutely fakes and phonies that are in sin and everything else, and they're not living consistent Christian lives.
Right.
But online, there are these superheroes, there are these super Christians online, but consistently, they're not that way.
Right.
They don't read their Bibles, they don't pray, and they have no real strong walk with the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
That's one of the dangers. They are not like their alter ego
yeah.
online.
Yeah.
Right.
They're keyboard commandos, but in real life,
right.
their life is in shambles.
Yep.
Turn to Job chapter 20, verse number 5, please. The Bible talks about being a hypocrite. Don't be a hypocrite. And that's one of the dangers of social media. You create this image that is a false image, and that is nothing like who you really are.
Right.
It's not consistent. I remember one person told me one time, they were like, I bet you're not even really a pastor. I bet you really don't even have a church you pastor and all this stuff. Like, no, actually I do. I bet you just made up a fake website. Oh, really? First of all, I don't know how to make up a website. Second of all, I really don't have time to make up a fake one. This is funny. But I understand his reservations, though, because there's a lot
right.
of things out there.
That's right.
Yeah.
Job chapter 20, verse number 5, that the triumphing of the wicked is short, and the joy of the hypocrite but for a moment. When these hypocrites get found out, they usually deactivate their account, and boom, they're gone, right? They get out of there. Why? Because they're fakes.
Right.
I've seen some of them online.
Yeah.
People have fake names. And people get mad at you, like Phil McCracken. People get mad at you, like that guy.
He shall fly away as a dream.
That's all I'm saying about 8. That was his name. And people thought that we were... They were mad because I exposed this guy that he was a fraud.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I remember.
Nate first did, though.
I started it.
Nate goes, seriously, you guys aren't fooled by this, are you? He's treating everybody dumb. He's like, seriously, nobody really believes this is a real guy. Okay. Job chapter 27, verse number 8. For what is the hope of the hypocrite, though he hath gained, when God taketh away his soul?
Amen.
Matthew chapter 6, verse number 2. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrite do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward.
Right.
Well, they get on social media and they sound the trumpet.
Right, in public.
Yeah. Praying.
Right? For everybody.
Like the Pope on Twitter.
Like the Pope on Twitter, yeah. What, the pick in the nose one, or when he eats booger, or what?
No, it was his first photo. It was him praying.
Yeah,
his very first photo.
The first one I seen on Twitter, so I thought was him picking his nose and eating his booger.
Seriously. I've seen that video.
Yeah, I'm not lying. Anyway. Jesus was not saying don't preach against sin, but don't be committing the same sin and preaching against it. It's hypocrisy, and God hates it. This secret identity online, then find out that the person is the furthest from that and the real thing. This is one of the dangers of social media. You better be careful with this, that some people put their trust in people online, and I'm going to get to that in a second. But they put their trust in people online to be scammed, and we'll talk about that in a bit.
Yeah.
But it's one of the dangers that people live this false life, that they're not really... That's not who they really are online. Next, number 5. Danger number 5, neglecting or not building real relationships around you.
Yeah.
One of the problems that people will use social media for is they will go online and have relationships with people or friends all across the world there. Friends, it's a one-dimensional type thing there.
Right.
But they'll have those, but they're not working on relationships that are right there.
Right.
You know, they're neglecting their family. They're neglecting building relationships with the people right around them.
Right.
You know, the Bible's very specific in Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 22, about wives working on their relationship with their husbands, submitting themselves to their husbands. I mean, your own husbands as under the Lord. Husbands, love your wives. So God is telling us to what? Ephesians 5, chapter 22, or Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 22. And then in 25, he's saying, husbands, you work on your relationship with your wife. And wives, you work on your relationship with your husbands.
Amen.
Yeah.
And then Titus chapter 2, verse number 4, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands,
amen,
that the word of God be not blasphemed.
Amen.
They're supposed to be working on their relationships at home.
That's right.
Working with each other, working on the people with the people around them. Widows serving the Lord. Single people serving Jesus Christ as well as they serve others. That's not to say we can't be on there on social media at all. It means that we should be working on the relationships that are right around us. Too many people don't want to work on the relationships. I'm going to tell you something. Listen, you have relationships right around you, brothers and sisters and everybody else. You be careful that you're not neglecting those to try to find other friends other places.
Right.
God gave you a brother, a sister, a family to work on those relationships.
Yeah.
He didn't give for you to go spend time with everybody else and not develop the ones that are around you. Amen.
Yep.
So we need to be cautious of that. We've all erred in somewhat in that area. We need to be cautious of that. We need to be careful of that.
Yeah.
It's very important. You know, you know more about total strangers if you like that than you do your own family. Those are your immediate family. You better not be neglecting those around us for those that are thousands of miles away. You know, Facebook is a ministry to me. If I had no ministry, I wouldn't even be on. You know, I have wonderful relationships to work on right here and now in front of me, as you do. Amen? That's why a lot of people call me from online. All right? I get calls every day from people. I get emails every day from people, but I don't always answer those. All right? I just don't. I'm not their pastor. I love them. They're brothers and sisters in Christ, but I'm not their pastor.
Amen.
I have to deal. My first responsibility is to my Lord and Savior,
amen,
to my family,
yep, amen,
and then to you.
Amen.
And then whatever time is left over, then I spend that helping others.
Right.
But That's my immediate is the people around me. My immediate job is the people around me.
Amen.
Not people
Amen.
Online. I mean, I love them. They're brothers. I'll help if I can. That's why it's best to send me an email, not to call me. Because it's easier for me to return an email to you than it is for me to hear from people out there, and not you guys. You guys can call me, but out there, it's easier for them just to email me than it is for them to call me, because I don't have time to get an hour-long conversations all the time with people.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have that kind of time. I can't do that as easy as it used to be before. It's not that easy anymore.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
But we need to live our lives not online, but in real time. Online is a portion of what we can do, but our lives need to be lived in Christ and serving others when we are able to work on our relationships with your children, with your spouse, and with your church. People tend to spend all the time online and not dealing with people right around them, building their relationships with their children, with their family, with their home, with their church, with each other, brothers and sisters, dealing, you know, sisters or brothers, whatever, dealing with each other. Amen. Trying to build those relationships, make them stronger. Amen.
Amen.
It takes work.
Yep.
Any relationship takes work.
Amen.
That's why the Bible gives the outline of those relationships and the importance of them, because it all takes work. It's not easy. This doesn't happen. You don't build good relationships by just letting them happen.
Yeah.
You build them by work, and we have to work. Amen. Danger number six. You can be scammed and taken advantage of. Turn to Proverbs chapter 1, verse number 2, please. The Bible tells us to use wisdom. To use wisdom and instruction to perceive. It says here, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity. Look at this. To give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion.
Amen.
Amen?
Yeah.
Knowledge and discretion. That's something that's unheard of today, discretion and actually using it. And, you know, dealing with people online, you cannot deal with an ultimate discretion and have discretion always. You don't deal with that online. You don't act with discretion, and it's dangerous because there's scammers out there. I know people that have been taken for thousands of dollars. Hey, I've been taken for some money. I'll be the first to admit it. I've been taken for some money.
Yeah.
I tried to help somebody one time and gave them $500.
Yeah.
And I got taken.
Wow. Yep.
It was somebody that visited here, that came here. And it was a scam. It was just a scam.
Wow.
All it was.
Yep.
So I can speak from experience. That's why I'm very careful about money online or giving anything like that online like that to people that you don't know, that aren't established or anything like that, or that you don't know personally that you understand, because there's so many people that want money online.
Yep. Yep.
The Bible says, how long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning. The fools hate knowledge. And fools hate knowledge. Proverbs 8:5, O ye simple, understand wisdom. And ye fools, be ye of understanding heart. Sometimes men and women will fall for anything online.
Right.
And they'll just give their information out online.
Right.
Nope. I remember a few people telling me that they were taken by some people in Africa or Asia or, you know, India, you know, places like that. They were taken. These people said they had an orbit. Okay, first of all, when people friend you, when they friend you and there's not a picture of them on there, but there's a skinny kid as big as my pinky.
Yeah.
All right. And he's on there, and he's looking in the camera, and they got to look at the camera, and they're starving. Now, you have no way to verify if that's a real picture or not.
That's right.
But a lot of times, it's so simple as going online and finding out that picture is just a fake. It's in Google Images, and it's just,
yep.
It's been faked everywhere, okay? But they use those. But you have no way of knowing who these people are.
Yeah.
I've been contacted from India and other countries like that, and they'll contact me and be like, you know, please help us. We have a starving orphanage
right.
And all these other things. Like, I don't know who you are. I don't know anything about you. I don't know what church
right.
you come out of.
Right.
What church are you out of? Who
yeah.
sent you out? Who ordained you? Where did you come from? And all these other things. They don't ever
right.
have any of those things, most of them.
Right. I had a guy that asked.
They're just scammers.
I had a guy that asked for Bibles, and I said, where can I order them? And he said, no, just send the money for them.
Right, exactly. The Bible says the simple believe every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going. You got to be prudent. You can't just believe everything everybody says to you. And people, I've watched, they'll send money. Meanwhile, it's a scam. And also, there's some people that are asking for money on there that, I mean, they're not even working. They're not doing.
Right.
I don't mean they lost their job, but they're just not working. They're
right.
not trying to work.
It's God's judgment.
Right. They believe that and you don't want to be a part of helping somebody that's not doing right. Amen?
Right.
You got to be careful about those
yeah.
things. But one of the dangers of online, what I've seen with this is with social media, is that people will just, they'll do that. They'll just give people money like that. They don't
right.
even know who they are.
Right.
There's people out there that are making merchandise, the people of God. So be careful. Don't give money and resources to people that you don't know and trusting and just trusting them with your information and giving bank accounts and all those other things. That's just a general rule for anybody. Don't give your social security number, your bank accounts, and anything like that, numbers to people online like that. Don't do that.
Right.
All right? That's just, don't do that. It's not wise. It's very foolish. You know, be careful not to be giving money and resources to wicked people. You know, you don't know what's going on. You have to be careful with that. And number 7, one of the things that's a problem, habit forming. Social media can be habit forming and neglecting your spiritual growth.
Oh, yeah.
Social media can be extremely habit forming.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? It can be extremely habit forming and time consuming. Getting locked into conversations with people and arguments or just the vast number of topics that are discussed can cause you to be consumed with that.
Right.
And I understand there's some people that have no fellowship around them. They can't find a church around them. So the only fellowship they get with any believers is online. That's all they get. I understand that. I understand that. But I'm talking about keeping things in perspective and understanding that. But a lot of times what happens is people will neglect their Bible reading and prayer time, and you'll be more interested or captivated or taken with social media or online activities than you are in obeying God's commands
right.
to pray and study.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
The Bible says, like we said in Joshua chapter 1, verse number 18, that you are to study to show yourself, that this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth.
Amen.
You're to be meditating day and night. That's what you're to be doing. And you're to be in God's Word. There is no excuse for you not to be in God's Word. If you're on social media and you're not in the Word of God, you're in sin.
Yep. Yep. Wow. Yeah.
If you're not taking time to read the Word of God and meditate, you're in sin.
That's right.
The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 15, study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If you are not obeying this command, then you are in direct rebellion to God.
Yep.
You know, he said, well, I get Christian fellowship on Facebook. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that if it's in the right perspective.
Right.
If it's done decently and in order.
Yeah.
If you're neglecting your Bible and say, well, I don't have time. First of all, you're lying.
Yeah, right.
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 You really need to repent of that line.
Amen.
Yep. There is a man alive that can say, I don't have time to read my Bible. I don't have
right.
time to pray.
Right.
No.
Right. Amen.
Really?
Amen.
Then you better quit doing something.
Yeah.
Yeah, amen.
Because it's called idolatry.
Yes.
Right.
Right. Amen.
And if social media becomes an idol to you where you put it before your time in prayer with the Lord and your time in God's Word, whatever is doing it, that's idolatry.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
I don't even take care of your children. You say, well, I can't. I'm running after my children. No, that's not true.
Yeah.
Put them down for a nap. Have them sit in their room and read a book. Have them do something else. But to say that you don't have time, no, you're not making time.
Yeah.
Right.
That's what you're doing. You're not making time.
Right.
It's not that you don't have, you're not putting God first. You're putting everything else first.
Yep.
Yep.
And that's idolatry.
Yep. Yeah.
Right?
Amen.
God doesn't... Listen, you're not going to convince me that any Christian can say that they don't have time. Because God may remove some of the things that are causing
yeah.
you yeah. to be so busy.
Right.
And let me help you with something. It won't be what you want Him to
yeah.
remove.
Amen.
It'll be what God wants to remove. And it
right.
may come with a sorrowful
right.
price.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Amen.
Right? So I would think it would be important for you to remove the things and put things in proper perspective before God removes something, so you look to Him.
Amen.
When people are neglecting their Bible, when they're not praying, God allows storms to stir up in their lives to turn them back towards God.
Yep.
Right?
Right?
He does. He brings trials in your life. Right? He stirs up a storm in your life and a trial in your life so you get back to the basics.
Amen.
So you get back and you look to heaven.
Amen.
And you look to God and you look to His Word. And you pray and seek God's face. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. Not just Bible reading, but prayer.
That's right.
A time of prayer. And then we'll finish up here with Luke chapter 18, verse number 2. Turn there, please. We'll finish up here. We're to be bombarding the throne of God with prayer constantly. This example is given to us saying, in verse number 2, saying, there was in the city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And he said, how about that, huh? He said, her continual, she doesn't stop wearying me. She keeps coming to me over and over again, so I'm just going to take care of it.
Right.
And that's the principle of prayer.
Right.
We continue to pray without ceasing over and over and over and over and over and over and over again.
Right.
Until God answers or gives a different answer than you want. But he will answer one way or another.
It says speedily.
That's right.
You cry day and night.
That's right. In Mark chapter 6, verse number 31 shows that, you know what, we need this time with the Lord. And he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. You know, they were so busy with everything that they needed to come apart for a while and rest a while. And get alone with God and get alone with His Word. And you know what you have to do? You got to shut the phone off. You got to shut the internet off. You got to shut everything out.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah.
You got to shut your door in your closet, your office, wherever that is. Driving in your truck down the road.
Amen.
Right. Shut everything out. Shut the sermons off. Shut everything off. And pray and seek God's face.
Amen.
Right. And you got to read and you got to study God's Word and meditate on it. That means you know, there's people always that will distract you. Social media will distract you constantly. Don't give social media the time that you're to be giving God.
Right.
Don't give that to others. God is jealous over His time.
Yep.
You give your undivided attention to the Lord, to the Bible, and to prayer. And that includes your family, too.
Yep.
Your family needs to understand that there is a time when you are alone with God and you are away from everything and you are seeking God's face.
Amen.
Amen. And I promise you, the devil will do all that he can and use your family members to try to stop you from doing that, to discourage you.
Right.
And the kids will start screaming.
Yeah.
One will start screaming, then there'll be a symphony of screaming. You'll have a whole group together. They'll all be singing and screaming in chorus, right? And everywhere. I mean, they'll raise up this. The dog will start barking. The dog will bite somebody. Everything will happen. Anything you can imagine will happen.
Right?
You know, there'll be an argument on social media that tries to take your attention, or something will happen on social media, or something like that, or somebody will want your time,
right,
and even your help. And you know what? Sometimes, you know what? Many times what I do is I just don't answer my phone. I'm like, no way. It has to. I've got to be alone with God.
Right. Yeah.
Amen.
I've got to have that time with the Lord. That's one of the traps of social media, is you have to be careful. Right? It'll steal time away from the Lord if you don't put it into perspective. Amen. Even like that instant messenger thread that we're on. You can swipe that over, hit mute, and mute that thing.
Amen.
You don't hear what's going on. You don't know what's going on. And you get along with God and you ignore all those things.
Amen.
Amen. And you get along with God. You seek God's face and you fall down on your knees and you pray to God. Amen. And you read the Bible and you learn something from God's Word. Those are some of the dangers. There's probably more, but...
Oh, yeah.
I think those are a lot of the main ones.
Amen.
And, you know, the Bible tells us, take heed lest you fall.
Right.
Amen.
Don't ignore warnings of God.
Right.
Follow them.
Amen.
Be sensitive to the Spirit of God. Be sensitive to different things. You know, don't say, well, that's not a big deal. No, it is a big deal.
That's right.
Obey God. Right? Amen. Father, Lord, we thank you for this day, Lord, and we thank you for your warnings from the Scriptures and your proper order that you set down for us. Help us, Lord, never to take that lightly or ignore that, Lord, or to make it a small matter. But help us, Lord, to be sensitive to your spirit. Help us be in our Bibles and praying. Help us to have proper conduct online. That we're very careful how we deal with people in social media. That we're very careful what we allow in social media. Very careful with our relationships online, that they are done decently and in order. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.